Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. This channel, Trauma and Social Change, it's absolutely the moment for that, isn't it? I'm Steve Hoskinson. I'm the founder of Organic Intelligence. I've been teaching in this area of trauma, embodiment, and social change for about 25 years. It's an honor, really, for us to be sponsoring this channel where we're going to hear a multiplicity of voice, all unique contributors to our collective understanding of how to move from trauma and support then social change. Our unique voice in organic intelligence has something to do with a koan that I'd like to present to you, which is trauma means unintegrated resource. And that's a koan, and if you'd like and are feeling intrigued about that riddle, then tune in to the post-trauma system development course that we are offering here. The coupon code that'll get you half off on that is ENJOY. Now, enjoy this next presentation, and we'll look forward to another meaningful time as we explore these topics, trauma and social change. Enjoy.
It's my sincere pleasure to welcome Dr. Ruby Gibson, speaking with us on somatic archaeology, generational and cultural healing. For over 35 years, Dr. Ruby Gibson has been dedicated to the craft and science of historical trauma reconciliation and cultural healing among Native and Indigenous peoples all around Turtle Island and abroad in Europe and Australia. She's developed two transgenerational trauma recovery models based on the sacred medicine wheel, somatic archaeology, and generational brain spotting. And she is the author of My Body, My Earth, The Practice of Somatic Archaeology, and co-authored its companion, My Body, My Breath, A Tool for Transformation. So I'm pleased to turn the session over to Dr. Ruby Gibson. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Good afternoon or good evening, wherever you are. Maybe good morning. I'm happy to be here with you, and thank you for joining me. I am speaking to you from Flathead Lake, Montana, up in the northern woods here, and it's a beautiful rainy day here, so a good day for a conversation.
Sorry, Dr. Gibson. Your audio cut out there for a second.
My what?
We missed your opening remarks there because your audio cut out briefly.
Okay. I'd like to introduce myself also. I think you all heard, sorry, I'll just repeat myself. I'm here on the beautiful Flathead Lake, northern Montana, in the northern woods here. And it's a beautiful day here. And the work that I do has been coming in many different ways. We're working with indigenous populations, but everyone has historical trauma. So we look at it through the lens of culture, and I consider myself a cultural healer. It's a big shift from working with an individual or working with a group of people, working with a family system, into working with an entire culture. And we're excited to do that. And we've been making some really dynamic changes within Indigenous communities. I myself am a mixed blood woman. I have Lakota, Ojibwe, and Mediterranean ancestry. And all of that has served me in many ways. And I live in South Dakota most of the time. So it's there on the nine reservations of South Dakota that that we really began implementing the work of somatic archaeology within those communities. So somatic archaeology is a name that depicts digging within our body or excavating a site in our body that maybe is a place of disease or a place of tension or a place of anxiety. And we look to the body to communicate with us about what's being held. And it's a neurophysiological communication. It's a somatic conversation because our body is like a walking library. It has so much information in it, and we don't always explore our body in that way. We think our way through to solutions rather than feeling our way to solutions. And many, many years ago, I kept finding that those thinking pathways would always create a regeneration of the same issue that sometimes would show up looking like something else, but it was the same content that was being exposed. So I would always think, what's under that? What's under that? What's under that? And so began this archaeological digging with my clients and my colleagues and even within myself. And what erupted was this process that is like a five step. It's really very simple. I believe that healing trauma is simple. I don't think it's very complex, especially when we work from a somatic point of view. So the steps are: I notice, I sense, I feel, I interpret, I reconcile. It's a bottom-up neurophysiological process. And once it's instigated, the body kind of gets rewired to be able to move information through rather than harboring things within our system and trying to make sense of them with our mind. And this work has grown in many different ways. I started sharing it and teaching it and writing about it. And I put it on a medicine wheel because for me, if you can put something on the medicine wheel and it finds balance and it holds water, then you have some magic there. And most of this work was influenced through multiple ceremonies in Mexico, in Canada, in Australia, in the United States with different tribal nations. And so it's been a conglomeration of ways and ideas and circles of life that have come in to create this wheel of knowledge that we use as a map to help track information that's emerging in the body. And so within its simplicity, everything that our body experiences is goes through the same process. So whether we're experiencing cancer or we have diabetes or we're dealing with grief or we're experiencing chronic pain, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's the same process. And we look back maybe seven generations within our bodies in order to access what happened before and before. Because when you were born, I have a little bird talking to me outside, excuse me. Let's put it this way. All mammals are incubated in their grandmother's womb. So a woman is born with all the eggs she'll ever have, right? And so when my mother was born, I was already an egg within her, which means I was incubated in my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, which then my mother held those eggs until she gave birth. And my daughter was in my womb when my mother gave birth. So she was incubated in my mother. And so goes this three generational process, where really are the biological imprints and the life stories and experiences all begin within the maternal grandmother. For every mammal, be it animal or human. And that information that's shared is a lot about survival. It's about how we operate, how we identify ourselves, how we make the choices that we make, the expectations we have for ourselves and our lives. So the struggles of those grandmothers become the struggles of the grandchildren unless they're resolved. And it's a, you know, it's an interesting way of looking at it. But if we go back, let's say, seven generations, what we're looking at is an accumulation. And in any specific culture, when there's repeated traumas, it gets layered in the body of the ancestors. And when there's no time or space or capacity to process that trauma out or to return to some kind of sense of normal, it just keeps building. So in our Indigenous communities and Native communities in the United States, as well as in Africa and in Indigenous communities of Europe and Australia and First Nations in Canada, they all have experienced a similar timeline. About the past 500 years, they have been colonized and used as slaves and murdered, and their lands taken away, their lifestyles, their spiritual values have changed. And so here in the United States, what we experience is a great amount of suicide, especially among our youth, alcohol and drug dependency, a lot of violence, and diabetes and cancer, just to name a few things that have developed and been built on this historical trauma. And most notably for the United States tribes, the boarding schools that occurred in the 1950s and 60s that were designed to make Native people behave according to European standards and Christian standards. There was so much abuse that happened at that time, and children were taken from the family at such a young age that it just deepened the wound and you know, made it even more difficult to recover, because there was a lot of what we call historical amnesia that was developed during that time. So in the complexity of this big problem, what we have decided to do is to take the model of somatic archaeology and not only apply it to individuals, but train other women, primarily leaders and thinkers and people who are counselors or therapists, and they bring it out into their communities. So we're kind of like the Johnny Appleseed of somatic work, helping our relatives bring the skills that they need to their community to help one community recover at a time. And we're seeing that happen. We were funded, I had developed a nonprofit group, I don't know, many, many years ago, and we were funded in order to do this work because our funders really believe in who we are and what we're doing. So we're really well funded in a way that we don't have to charge tribal members for the work that we do. And we have been deliberate and focused for the past 6 years, making changes within our communities. And we're hopeful, you know, we're hopeful that we're going to be able to meet some kind of maximum capacity of people so that it begins almost like that 100th monkey type of thing that, you know, we can create change one person at a time, one community at a time. And it's really exciting to be a part of it. It's exciting to take something that I birthed and gave birth to out into the world and seeing the repercussions of it. We're also currently researching somatic archaeology. So that we can develop some raw data to further it as a practice, a best practice, so that it can be billed to insurance companies and, you know, all of those kinds of complexities. But we're right in the middle of our research and evaluation of our program, and I'm pretty excited about the outcome of that. So that's how I spend my life and where my focus is on how can we recover and how can we recover as a community and as a culture. And I had spent a significant amount of time doing this in Romania, of all places. My book is published in Romanian. We've just published my book in Spanish. So we have access to Latinx, Latinos, and communities that are suffering because of what's been happening at the border between Mexico and the US. So I don't think there's any limitation for this type of work. And it's something that is teachable, that you can apply to yourself, you can apply to someone else, you can, you know, share in multiple ways. So freedomlodge.org is our website, and you're welcome to go there and just look at what we're up to. Anyway, I thought that I would share with you, we do in somatic guided meditations. And I thought that I would share with you one of those meditations if you would like to participate. And it'll just give you a flavor of what the work feels like. So it's gonna take, maybe 10 minutes of time. And what I invite you to do is to close your eyes and let yourself just be present with my voice. And then we can talk about it afterward. But this is the, and it reflects the heart of the work that we do. Okay. All right, so I'm going to just invite you to close your eyes and to feel yourself in your chair and take in about a dozen deep breaths. And those breaths should be in through your nose and out through your mouth. Breathing in through your nose. Out through your mouth. Each exhalation, allowing your shoulders to drop. Allowing your body to settle. You can even imagine that as you exhale, your breath exhales all the way down your legs and out the soles of your feet. Imagining you connecting with the Mother Earth and the resources that she provides. Few more breaths. Just noticing how it feels to be in your skin today. Noticing any part of your body that feels tense or distressed. Breathing into wherever you're holding or containing that tension. Breathe it out. I invite you to let your breath come all the way down, feeling the earth beneath your feet. Feeling into the top layers of the earth, the grass, the grains, or what we call the hair of Mother Earth. Letting your attention go even deeper as you exhale down into the earth. Feel the loamy layers of soil. The top layers of Mother Earth's skin. Feeling your skin and continue to let your awareness drop deep under the soil into the rocks and the bones or the stones. That are the structure of Mother Earth, or the bones of Mother Earth. Feeling your own skeleton. Feeling your own structure. And this time, allowing your exhale to go under the rocks and the stones. Feeling the waterways. The underground rivers. Feeling the watery pulse or the veins of Mother Earth. And then feel your own veins, your own blood flow. Taking in a few more deep breaths. Feeling the underground caverns and caves that make up the inner organs and structure of Mother Earth. And then feel that in your own body, the places where your organs are harbored and held. Feel the space you hold inside your heart, your lungs. Feeling your ribs, your diaphragm. Feeling your kidneys and your hips. Your womb, your reproductive organs, and the way that they're cradled in your body. Breathing all the way down through the bones of your legs and your arms. A couple more deep breaths in. This time as you exhale, feel the center of Mother Earth. Feeling into her fiery core. The pulse that's deep within her. Providing life and rhythm. Take some deep breaths right into your own heart. To your core of the pulse of your body. Feel Mother Earth's pulse and rhythm within your own heart. Feeling your inner world wake up. Feeling the vibrancy of your heart. Feel the beating of your heart. Good, and notice how it feels again to be in your skin. To be able to feel your body and your breath. Giving gratitude for the miracle of your body. All the gifts it provides. For you. And just ask your body what it needs. Feel what it might be holding. Feel the energy of all that comes before you. And how you would be if you could transform the memories inside of you. Asking your body, who are you when you're free? Who are you when you're liberated? From all that your body holds. And a couple more deep breaths, recognizing that what you recover, what you remember inside, will recover your sense of self and help to heal the generations behind you. Will come before you, as well as the generations yet to come. That you stand at the apex of 14 generations, 7 behind, 7 ahead. And this place gives you so much power. The choices you make today influence not only your ancestors, but influence the ebbs and the flows of Mother Earth and her harmony, recovery and balance. This is an invitation to use your power in a mindful and good way, to recapture where you have been, where you're going, and how you influence the world around you. Take in 3 more deep breaths. Manage, maintain. For all my relations, I live this way. Oh. Mintoko Yasa. I invite you to surround, feeling the pulse of Mother Earth in your heart. The goodness of your being, your spirit. Notice how it feels to be in your skin now. Thank you for participating in this meditation with me. And if you have any questions or thoughts you'd like to share, we're going to open the question portal.
Thank you so much for such a powerful meditation. I'd like to start with a question from Casey. She asked, can you say more about what it looks like to put this healing process on the medicine wheel?
Sure, thank you. Putting it on the medicine wheel, I mean, we recognize that we share our planet with the animals, with the mineral world, with the other humans, with the plants, and, you know, the water and the wind. And when you put something on a medicine wheel, it reflects the entire circle of life and the impact of one thing on the other. And so a medicine wheel can be built according to a fundamental principle of the four hills of life, meaning the life of a child, the life of an adult, the life of a elder, and, you know, the life of the teenager. So it's got these four hills of life that allow us to witness growth, and a medicine wheel is multifaceted because it has the four directions on it, has four colors, these four worlds, and they all play together constantly. So it becomes an alchemy of what we call life. And it's all the gifts of Mother Earth, all these, the ways in which she nurtures and cares for all the elements. And you can track weather, you could track generations, you could track family systems, you could track a lot of things with the medicine wheel. So when we put somatic archaeology on the wheel and we look at ether, air, fire, water, and earth, and we take the basic elements and we find something that hits every single one of those elements and identifies it and works with it, that's the alchemy. That's where the magic of the wheel shows up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you for that. That's lovely. Yeah, just knowing there's many questions and only so much time, if it's all right to move on. Yvonne's asking, do you also take into account the fathers? You spoke about sort of the connection through mothers, but are you taking account both family backgrounds when you look at this?
Absolutely. And I didn't necessarily mean just to focus on the female lineage, but the male lineage has profound ways in which it impacts, you know, a lot of it is more social, health oriented, has, you know, a very strong influence over the choices that someone might make in their lives. And the genetic inheritance, especially related to health. You know, they've done a lot of research about how, you know, one generation that has experienced like starvation or a drought or something like that, how then, or even a dry season, how that then impacts and kind of trickles down to affect other generations. And, you know, traditionally men are the providers, and, you know, so a lot of their roles have to do with the nourishment of their people and of their relatives. And it's a much longer answer, but that's just a little bit of an insight into it.
Oh, thank you. And you're sort of speaking a little bit to the next question. So Carol asks, how can you heal your ancestors before you by healing your own self?
Because we're connected, everything is connected. So when you unravel something, a trauma or a memory or a lie or a secret maybe in your family system or an addiction, and you make choices like to be sober or to tell the truth or whatever, then what you're doing is relieving them of the burden of having to carry unprocessed experiences and memories. And so in that way, it lightens their load. So, you know, many people's ancestors are crying out, you know, heal, heal, so that we can heal too, because every generation absorbs what was unprocessed in the previous generations. And this is a biologically, spiritually, emotionally, you know, there's many ways, vicariously, certainly.
Oh, thank you. That's beautiful. Questions are sort of flooding in. So Larissa's asking, how can someone who has had generational trauma and experiences pain begin to work on releasing the layers?
By starting with what is, starting in this present moment, because this is where our power is, right here and right now. And if we identify something inside of ourselves and we begin to use this process to remedy it, it just kind of ripples out in both directions. You know, a woman who's holding, say, a dynamic of sexual abuse that has been rampant in her predecessors, and, you know, she's wanting to protect her children because of the trail of the abusive experiences, has noticed that when she processes her own, she feels like her ancestors come almost like a thank you. And then her children don't have to repeat the unlearned lesson or whatever the dynamic is, you know, within that. They don't have to continue to learn through that lens of abuse or intimidation or you know, whatever the issue is. So it's just kind of a biological imperative that's just how it works. That's how we're wired. And like I said at the beginning, we're wired that way because the connections that we have from grandmother to granddaughter is mostly about survival. You know, that's not so much present day, although we're probably experiencing it more now, which is triggering people's survival issues through the COVID process. But, you know, being able to survive that's the biological imperative. So if we want to survive, then it brings up all of the memories of our ancestors' actions to survive. And when they were unable to survive, they developed kind of a code about how to operate within a system in order to protect it. And it's those protective measures that maybe served our ancestors, but no longer serve us today because there's different things going on that become outdated and they need upgrading. And that's basically what ends up happening for a lot of people who do this work. They have to identify first what's outdated and then go about creating a new dynamic or a new way of looking at things. So hopefully that makes sense. It's a really simple technique with a whole lot of knowledge beneath it. It's rich and so sometimes difficult to answer questions in a short form.
And I'm afraid we've come to the end of a very rich hour. So thank you again so much. As you say, there aren't necessarily words to capture everything that's been received here. So very much appreciated. So before coming back to you for your final sort of word or tip on embodiment, just to announce, the next session in the channel in about an hour is Kathy Kane, The Somatics of Survival versus Threat. You're very welcome to continue this discussion either by joining a coffee break session in the portal and sharing the good news with others of what you've taken from this session, or onto the Facebook group, and Luann's putting those links in the chat. Again, another nod to Steve Hoskinson as our sponsor for the Trauma and Social Change panel, and you'll see in the chat again links to Dr. Gibson's books, to the Freedom Lodge website, and then just a brief touch that we're so appreciative that we can offer this experience to you free. If you'd like to buy the recordings just to digest in your own time, we do appreciate those who can to purchase either the channel or the full conference package. It helps us make this available to as many people as possible. But if I can return it to you, Dr. Gibson, for your final thing you'd like to speak to for the session.
Well, I would just say that I've received hundreds of somatic archaeology sessions on myself because I wanted to be, kind of research myself. And there were some pivotal things that happened to me in my life and my ancestry that made me more curious about what was going on. My father was adopted there, there was like a series of things. So even though you might, if you're an adoptee or you have some significant trauma or uprooting in your family system, there's always a way to the truth because our body never lies. And when we can access our body, which communicates through sensation, it doesn't communicate through words, right? And we can tune in and listen to our body, we become more intuitive. We become more connected, not only to ourselves, but to that circle of life and to the subtleties that exist. And, it's using myself as a guinea pig for all these years. I have been able to work through my parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, like I could have feel myself go all the way back so far that I found myself just becoming a healing conduit, especially for Mother Earth. And I've had all sorts of experiences with Mother Earth that helped me to to be an advocate for her. And especially at this time, you know, with all the assaults that are happening to our earth, it's been probably one of the greatest joys for me is not only being able to recover myself and benefit my children, but that I can be that voice and be that helper, that, you know, colleague for transforming maybe our social environment, our environmental dynamics and other things. So, you know, the healing never stops because there's always something. So, you know, dedicating yourself or dedicating myself to that process has had many, many blessings. So that's what I wanted to say. Thank you so much for listening, and my heart goes out to all of you.
Yes, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you so much to everyone who's joined, and it was really an impactful session. Yeah.
Great, thank you, Cheryl, for facilitating.